shaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, May 26th, Memorial Day, if you are like us here in the States. And we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it is time for our Monday Night tradition. We don't take off for holidays here at Mega Powers Radio. It's time for the NPR Raw Post Show. I'll be your host of Things Going Down tonight. I'm the station director here at Mega Powers Radio. My name is Mike Payton, but let me introduce you to our guests we got here. First off, the president of Drew Crew Incorporated, Mr. Drew White.
How you doing?
Absolutely tremendous, man. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Same to you, and same for all the troops out there. You do it well.
Oh, that's very touching, Drew. Also with us, the host of Addicted to Anime and
Unanimous Decision MMA, or if it's easier for you, UDMMA.
Mr. Steven Wago, how you doing?
I'm good. Enjoying National Barbecue Day.
And, of course, the president of SmarkOutMoment.com and the lead host of Smack Talk, Tony Mango.
Hey, what's up?
All right, guys, we're here to talk about Raw. Let's not dilly-dally about our feelings and about Memorial Day and burgers and all that goodness. Let's do things how we kick off here and ask you guys what the number one thing you took away from Raw tonight was. Steven, why don't you kick us off?
I wanted it to be over a lot sooner. It wasn't necessarily a bad show, but it was one of those shows where you felt like it dragged. Nothing on the show really stuck out as amazing, so it was a pretty meh show for me.
Drew?
I believe in Bo Dallas.
And Tony?
I did not have to rush home to get here tonight.
Oh, yeah. I guess a lot of us head off. I didn't. I had to work today. Yeah, a lot of people got to enjoy that extra time with Raw, or did you? I don't know. The problem with these holiday editions of Raw is they tend to be very filler-esque, and I don't know. I think this went above what I normally would have expected for a holiday, but it certainly was a subpar edition.
For a go-home show, too?
Yes, indeed.
That's the kicker here.
Well, before he goes, I want to give a shout-out to Awesome Piano Man. He popped in just to say hello, and he also gave me his good, bad, and the ugly, so I'll read that off real quick. His good tonight was Our Troops, his fiance, and the new X-Men movie. The bad is that he's not going to get to spend any time with Wago tonight. And the ugly is Drew.
Yummy.
Yummy?
I'm off to a great fucking start.
Yeah, indeed. Gosh, guys, I don't even know what to pull off of this show, like, as the big thing. I guess the biggest thing that happened tonight is what everyone was talking about throughout this week, the current state of the WWE heavyweight title, which is, we don't know still. Yep, we knew that Stephanie McMahon was going to call out Daniel Bryan tonight. We know that she was going to expect him to surrender the title tonight. However, he said he could not do that. He said that he would be disrespecting all his fans. He would be spitting on all the times they supported him during this hard trial that he went through to get that title. So he refused to hand the belt over. And after that, I just kind of lost track of this. There was something about Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon threatening to fire her about something. I don't know. Just make a decision. Don't prolong this any longer than you need to. I mean, if Daniel Bryan's hurt, get it off him and you can have fun chasing with him later. If he can hold on to it, then say he's going to be fighting at Payback on Sunday. This is all dumb. I don't know. Tony?
Just glad that he didn't submit the title yet. It gives me one extra week of points.
Drew?
I thought it was stupid. And who the fuck cares if Brie Bella doesn't have a job?
And Wago.
I think the biggest problem with this whole segment is nothing was really clear cut. It was, yeah, I'm going to give you the title, but actually, no, I'm not going to give you the title. But what about your wife? And I didn't understand what they were saying, if she was going to get fired or if she might get fired or
If he didn't, like, submit the title or forfeit the title back to Stephanie on Sunday, I think Brie would be fired. I think that's what they were trying to
do. I don't know. The dialogue she was using made it just sound like her life was going to be a living hell. I wasn't sure what they was going for, but
I don't know. She was trying to act like Vince because she did that "you're fired" thing really bad. And that's when I kind of, like, okay, this is terrible.
Yeah, but it was just a whole kind of a clusterfuck of a segment. After the no part, it just kind of went off the rails. So I wasn't a fan of this.
And I just wish it would just get some finality. That's all. There's no need to prolong this any longer than it needs to. And we got to prepare for our big summer programs.
look, just give him the title permanently so I get a lot of points on the fantasy league and have somebody else defend it if you need to, but make it to where that's not worth any points and I'll be happy.
I hope he gets fired and Tony gets a massive minus points.
Then he submits, gets rid of the title, and Bree gets fired.
Whatever works, I just hope it fucks you over.
All right, well, one of the other big things we had happen tonight was Bray Wyatt and his Wyatt clan coming out. What I thought was really cool was during their walking to the ring, the entire crowd had their cell phones out and they were swaying them back and forth in the music. I don't think I've ever seen them do this before. Or if they have, maybe I just didn't notice it or they didn't catch it as well in the camera.
It was last week, but it was so much more noticeable this week.
Yeah, holy cow, that looked freaking awesome. That reminded me of like a good like old-fashioned 90s rock concert.
And it took me back to the Undertaker's entrance. His old one.
The old one where the Undertaker used to carry his cell phone and...
Well, back when everyone had the lighters, it was a kind of modern version of that. It's sweet.
Well, Bray Wyatt had a bunch to say, but once again, I cannot follow what he's saying anymore. He just goes on and on. And then halfway through this, he started doing this really annoying thing where between everything he said, he would breathe in really hard. And it just pissed me off. So I started tuning out until he started turning his attention over to Jerry Lawler. And I got my attention back in. And what I really liked about this is we'll often see a wrestler call out one of the announcers for one thing or another. And very often there's other announcers there who do absolutely nothing to help them. And there's never even a reason to explain. They just sit there and just watch it, just bystanding. Well, not only did Bray Wyatt threaten JBL if he did something, JBL still got up and tried to help Jerry Lawler and went to attack Eric Rowan or whoever the heck he went to hit. He ended up getting beat down himself. But it just feels so much more believable when you have a second to throw in something like that. They bring Jerry Lawler into the ring. Bray Wyatt threatens to hit him with a Sister Abigail, but John Cena comes down for the save. Unfortunately, is not able to keep up with the numbers of the Wyatts, though, but the odds get evened when the Usos come down. And I don't know what John Cena said. He got all angry, but he was smiling and laughing. Like, how can you take this guy seriously when he's trying to act all pissed off? He's like, one of the worst flaws about that guy, and one of the things that pisses me off the most about him, he just cannot stop smiling. Tony, what did you think about this Wyatt segment and their attack on the announce team?
Maybe he was secretly happy that they did that. He was kind of like going back and forth. He's like, hey, don't do that. I wanted to. Well, I guess it's okay that you kind of did it at first. I kind of agree with what you were saying. The first segment of this just was a bore. He was started out. They showed the preview of the last promo that he did with all the singing and all that. And I have to echo what Wago had said before, where the singing is getting a little bit too much. And they literally went from let's watch him sing last week to let's start off this promo with him singing again. I liked that, but damn, they're really overplaying that card. And when that started off like that, I was just like, okay, this is going to be pointless. He's going to sing that a little while, then he's going to come out and start talking about some other nonsense, man, a bunch of times, and other than that, it'll be crap. But like you said, when they started doing everything with Lawler and everything, that actually ended up being pretty decent. And kudos to the person who did bring out that whole idea of JBL trying to stop it in some fashion, because that's always bothered me too. Even when it just comes to Jerry the King Lawler. I mean, people will come out and they'll mess around with Michael Cole or Josh Matthews or whoever the hell was there at the time. And like Matt Stryker or Lawler or JBL, or even if it's like an extra person in commentary that's a wrestler, they never do anything. So really good to see that happen. That's not helping me care about this match anymore, though, for the pay-per-view.
No.
So, I mean, that's their selling point, and that didn't work, but at least they had that little bit of extra oomph to this to make it so it wasn't just boring and completely flat.
I'm going to pull something out of the chat room here. Five times combo saying Wyatt's segment was awkward. The Usos really need something else to do. You know, when I saw them run out like that, I was surprised. I mean, in a way, this is bumping the Usos up, but unless they're actually doing something that's tag team relevant, especially if they could be fighting for the titles, I would say Who has the titles right now? Wait, is it them?
Yeah, the Usos have the title.
Yeah, they haven't dropped into the Wyatt family yet.
When was the last time they defended them?
They just defended them on a house show. Or
they didn't defend them at Extreme Rules, that's for sure.
No, it was some kind of a house show over the tour, and shit, who was it? Finlay
overturned the decision. He's like, "Hey, we're in Ireland. I'm Irish. Don't do that."
Yeah, so the Wyatt family might be winning those soon. They would have just done that kind of.
Yeah, five times combos followed up. You forgot they even had the titles. That's how badly they need something else to do. Touche.
Yeah.
Touche indeed. Wago, what'd you think about this segment with the Wyatts, though?
Okay, last week I was really harsh on them, and rightfully so. This week they redeemed themselves a little bit. They didn't overkill it with the singing, and for the most part I enjoyed his promo. He's pretty much talking about the man and your boss and how you hate them. And yeah, so it was neat. So it's the whole this whole bullshit where he's trying to get all the fans on his side thing. And after he finally got done with that whole spiel, went outside, did the whole thing with the commentators, and I enjoyed that. As you guys mentioned, I'm not going to go too far into it. It's pretty much what you guys have said. But as far as John Cena's promo afterwards, I'm going to disagree with Peyton on it. I actually enjoyed it. I didn't notice the smiling too much, and maybe that's because I just try and avoid looking at Cena these days. But
are you intimidated by that jaw?
Strong jaw. I don't know if it's just fucking his body proportions at this point that just kind of weirded me out.
But he has really tiny legs. You ever noticed that? Like, yeah. His calves are really small.
They need to bring back Jack Swagger pointing to his own smile.
And you know, if his calves are so small, having him wear jorts does not help him.
Yeah, well, to be fair, he's like got an excuse not to wear spandex, so he's probably happy wearing them. So yeah, it was what it was, but I actually enjoyed Cena's little promo, and I think it sold the match a bit more. What I'm hoping going into Payback is that the Wyatt family end up fighting the Usos, so we just get Cena versus Wyatt on their own. But that's my personal takes on it.
Are you at the farm or something? I feel like I just heard an excavator back there. Nothing.
Jeep in the background.
Oh no, there's a train.
Oh. Too. Is it the Exotic Express?
It might be. Between that and fireworks, it sounds like Drew's living in my house.
Did you say sounds like Jerusalem?
It sounds like Drew's living in my house.
Oh. that was a terrible joke. Oh, all right. Drew, you're the last one. Tell us what you think about the Wyatt segment.
I hated on him last week. I didn't really – I thought it was good. That kind of got me back this week. Well, I'm going to agree with Wago. The beginning was – you know, just the usual Bray stick. We don't understand what he's talking about. And then when it got to the commentator section, that's when I really started paying attention. I was like, yeah, you know what? It's interesting, especially when we got to the JBL part. I don't understand why he was standing up for Jerry Lawler, just besides the fact that they told him not to. But I thought it was interesting enough, especially the clothesline he got. I was hoping he'd mention, you know, like, oh, I do clothesline. He does a good clothesline. But, you know, I don't know if he ended up mentioning that at some point later on tonight. But I really enjoyed that part. When we get to John Cena, Usos, I kind of tune out because it's been the same thing for like the past 2 months. And, you know, I've really been hating on the Wyatt side, and I'm starting to think it's not so much them. I think it's just so much of the John Cena feud. I think, you know, we've seen too much of that at this point. I'm thinking as soon as we get a new face for him to face. I think
this feud's only been going on a few months now.
Yeah, but just say it's been the same thing this whole time, you know. And the fact that the Wyatts just when they win, it's always fluky. They always get themselves disqualified in matches. It's just I really can't stand the idea of this anymore. It's just getting to the point where I don't care, if that makes sense. I will give the Wyatts credit. I don't think it's so much at them at this point. I'm blaming it on Cena. For just, it's been the same thing. Because, you know, anytime I see the Wyatts on stage, I know Cena's going to appear and try to do something at that point. So it's just kind of, I just don't really know what to think of it now. I did like the segment, but as soon as Cena came out, it's kind of like, but we mentioned the Usos. I think they ended up mentioning that they're facing Eric and Luke on main event. So, maybe, I don't know, maybe that could
So why not Payback?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll, like, it'll lead to a match at Payback.
Oh, yeah, maybe they'll have, like, a schmoz ending or something.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. You actually made me think of something, and I didn't want to interrupt you too much. I wanted to let you finish. But how crazy is that? How quickly we get tired of feuds now. They only go for 2-3 months. It's like, oh, my God, this has been going on forever. And I don't know if maybe you knew, Drew, but I think Wago and Tony can agree with me. Back in, like, the 90s, where feuds would go on for, like, 5-6 months sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's almost norm. Like a full year or a year and a half.
Yeah, I don't. The only feud that I've seen. I was just gonna mention the Cena Rock feud. That's the only thing I can really think of that's gone on for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that doesn't count though because he's only around a couple times a year. But the only feud that's like that I can put in recent memory that was kind of long was Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan last year. And damn,
I was gonna say right before that was that Orton Christian feud that felt like it went on for fucking ever. But they were all good matches. It just felt like it went on forever.
What about the Del Rio and Sheamus?
Well, that just felt like it went on forever.
Maybe. Didn't that actually be like wasn't that like 6 pay per views?
I think it was like 5 or something like that.
It was some ridiculous number, and nobody wanted it to happen like that.
Maybe it's just because there's too much TV now, and we're overexposed to it all.
Oh, yeah, you think? You can't even watch SmackDown anymore because there's 3 hours of Raw, but yet you also got SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars, Legends House, Divas, whatever, and all this other crap. Countdown.
NXT.
I prefer a show called Divas, whatever, instead of Total Divas. They all come on screen and everyone's like, whatever.
Imagine if you actually did everything what WWE expected you to do, where you watched every one of these shows and you went to the WWE.com website and watched all the videos, and then you, like, how much oversaturation could that possibly be doing that? You would literally watch the same promo at least 20 times a week. And they want you to do that? Really? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines to y'all out there. If you want to get yourself in line to chat live with us here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, dial in with your cellular or landline, area code 760-512-7247. You can also get in using Skype by pressing the little Skype icon at the top of the page. And, of course, the chat room is rolling nicely. Quiet tonight, we got 5x Combo and Brian the Brain. It's a holiday. You know, it happens. But no matter what the holiday is, our good friend JD is here. Let's get him on here. JD, how you doing, bro?
Hey, guys. Happy Memorial Day to y'all. How you guys doing tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, and happy Memorial Day to you as well, man. What'd you do today?
Not much. I did some yard work around the house, did some laundry, cut the grass. I mean, I'm working on my pool now. I have a solar and ground pool, so we're trying to get it open. So keeping busy with the family and everything like that. So it was a good weekend, though. I can't say. It's been warm here, too, though. It's in the 80s, but it's going to cool down for a few days, and I'm warm back up again later in the week, though. So I did watch Raw tonight, and once again, I've got to say, as I say every week, however, the bullshit keeps coming, because once again, we have to put up with Triple H and Stephanie kissing each other, having people kiss their ass for them, because they're obviously the little bitches that they can do, have people kiss their ass for them. Oh, let's see. Oh, Kane, why don't you take care of Brad Max for us tonight, because we have no vagina or no penis. Oh, that's what. We'll lay him out. And then what happens tonight? Let's see. Oh, the Shield gets laid out by Evolution at the end of the show because of Bautista, the dick with beard, man with the beard, and his little bitch boy, Randy, blow me hard, Orton. Oh, that's so cool. The show was an absolute fucking wreck tonight. It was an absolute joke. It was a sham, and I would not be surprised if the ratings go completely down tonight. And why?
Damn, JD, tell us how you really feel.
Well, let's think about it. Stephanie McMahon. Oh, okay. Daniel Bryan, you give me your title, however, and I will make sure, however, you get your opportunity. Oh, Triple H, I'm your wife and everything like that. I'll make sure you get the belt because I'm your wife and you deserve it because you kiss my ass so well every week, just like your little bitch boys, Orton and Batista. Yay, I'm so happy for you. Give me a fucking break. And then Bo Dallas, come on. I'm sorry. This is a joke already. I mean,
you're not a Bo Leaver?
I'm not a believer. This gimmick is going to wear so thin, it's not even funny. I mean, right now I thought it was going to come off pretty well. I have not been sold on. The Rusev thing, enough is a fucking enough, especially on the holiday. I mean, seriously, that was just an absolute slap in the face to everyone tonight, I feel, if you ask me. I mean, here's an idea, Rusev. Go back to Russia, bang Lon out, have some borscht and vodka, and stay the fuck home. You're a joke.
That was quote of the night.
Joke of a show. And I have this Sunday, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people say at this point that Money in the Bank, however, they might decide the championship. I would like to see CM Punk come on pay-per-view Sunday night, sit in the ring, however, and just literally just spew his gospel, spew a Pillman-esque type promo, and totally shit on the authority. I would love to see it happen. I hope it happens, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I would love to see him come back soon because they need someone like him or Jericho to set the authority in a place. We're tired of the same old bullshit week in and week out with the authority.
Oh, my goodness. Well, JD, we were talking about before how they're just stretching this whole thing with Daniel Bryan out. Do you want them to just cut to the chase, or you seem like you're most feeling like this is going to head to Triple H? If it doesn't go to Triple H, where would you like to see it go? What would make you happy in this situation?
That's hard to say because, I mean, like I said, I like to see a big name like a Jericho or a Punk come back. I don't think John Cena is worthy of it. But, of course, if Daniel Triple H doesn't get it, obviously Triple H is probably going to have his little butt boys, however, say, oh, Orton Batista, here's a gift for you. I'm giving it to you because you deserve it. You've done so well helping us out all the time. Kane, here's a little bonus for you. Why don't you just suck my dick while you're at it, too? I mean, come on. It's all these people kissing Triple H and Stephanie's ass week in and week out. We've been talking about someone to set the authority in their place. They need a good GM now that Brad Mack seems to be out of the picture, and who knows how long he's going to be out of the picture for, because, I mean, they've been wanting to do this probably for a while now, but they need a better GM in place right now and somebody to set the authority straight. We're tired of seeing the same old bullshit diarrhea coming out of Triple H and Stephanie's mouth week in and week out, and they're saying, oh, Daniel Bryan's not a B-plus player. Here's an idea, Hunter. Why don't you grow some balls and go in the ring once in a while instead of being Mr. COO corporate guy and show us how it's really done. Oh, that's right. You wrestle very little now, and you're a businessman because you don't have the balls to stay in the ring on a full-time schedule. Grow a set for once, you little bitch. And believe me, come Sunday, you're going to get your ass kicked and kicked hard in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness gracious. JD, I got two other events from tonight that I need to get your opinion on. First off...
High point and low point.
No, not high that point yet. And low point. Nope, not okay. Yet. Before we get to that, I got like two actual things from the show I want to get your opinion on. First off, El Torito versus Drew McIntyre, and poor El Torito losing his tail. What'd you think?
It was funny. I mean, I think it's funny because they're now going to have a mask versus hair match, apparently, on Sunday in the pre-shows. They announced it. I mean, it's been funny, but you know what? It can only wear so thin after a while. But it is going to be a little comical and entertaining to watch on the pre-show on Sunday in Chicago. I'm going to enjoy it, and I hope El Torito, they sew the tail back on, and we're going to see Hornswoggle, who actually is celebrating his 8 years in the company as of today. Maybe they'll show him next Monday like Kurt Angle, or when Vince went had his head shaved bald, however, if you remember, with Donald Trump. Maybe they'll do some like helmet gear for Hornswoggle if he decides to be big bald. I think it'd be pretty funny.
He tried to bring back like that green hat he was wearing, or I guess as he's like in the band, he tries to put on like a wig. He wears like a really crazy rock star wig.
Like a Buddy
Jack
Roberts type wig, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That'd be awesome. All right, the other thing. Foxy, what the hell is going on with this chick?
She is psycho. She's taking the AJ role apparently now over AJ, and that leads me to wonder if AJ's going to come back as a face and maybe feud with her if she should be Paige at the title on Sunday. That's going to be very interesting to watch. However, the Divas division has gone suddenly interesting a little bit, however, this whole Lisa Fox thing. I mean, she continues to show the psycho-esque role week in and week out now, and it's been going on for 3 weeks now, and I'm worried what's going to happen. I mean, like Michael Cole said, I shudder to think what's going to happen Sunday. I think they're going to keep Paige champion, but if Alicia should win, however, that leads me to wonder if AJ is going to come back either at Money in the Bank or possibly Battleground, and we could have a new feud with these two, possibly with AJ being a face diva, you know?
Oh, that's very interesting. Two Battle of the Crazies.
Yeah, cool. But if one of them could finally straighten out and be the more crazy of the other, because I think AJ will finally calm down and see the light at the end of the tunnel. At least I hope for a while before she goes back to her heelish ways. But I think AJ coming back as a face diva, they need a true face diva right now. They don't have, it seems like, that one true face diva. It seems like Paige's all right at times with her look, but they haven't had a real solid face diva for a while. I mean, the Bells are okay in their own way. We've seen what they've done. Natty's done okay at Fairbest, but she's not one of the big true faces. Cameron and Naomi off doing their own thing. Emma, she's still green. We saw that tonight, obviously, what happened. Even though she did beat Alicia tonight, she still has ways to go. So they need a one big true face diva to really spark that division again. They got the heel diva, it seems like, now in Alicia, but they need a true face diva to get back on the map. And I think AJ would be the one person that they could turn to and say, hey, AJ, we're turning around your gimmick now. We're making you a face diva. How do you like that? And she would probably be against it for all, but you know what? They need that spark right now.
And people love her. The crowd loves her, so they'll very easily get behind her as a babyface.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, JD, high point, low point.
High point was the first match, Van Damme and Cesaro. It was really good. It went 10 minutes long. It was one of the few great matches of the night. The low point for me tonight was, like I said, the Rusev thing. I think it was a slap in the face to do that on Memorial Day. I think Vince should be ashamed of it. And the whole Bo Dallas and Ambrose things are just bumming me up. But like I said, more and more every week, it's the same old bullshit coming from the authority's mouth. We don't need to hear a 20-minute diarrhea promo and then Stephanie say, oh, Daniel Bryan, you got to do the right thing or we'll fire your wife. And then here's an idea. Stay the F off television, okay? We're getting tired of hearing your bullshit week in and week out, having your little buddies kiss your ass and blow you at every turn like Kane, like Orton, and like that little dick with the beard, Batista. Give me a break already.
Oh, my goodness. JD, tremendous call, dude. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the Memorial Day, dude. Hope it's not too hard returning back to the grind tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you guys have a good week, too, and I'll talk to you guys next Monday night after payback.
Absolutely, man. Enjoy. Oh, my goodness. This is live, folks. You allow anyone in here to get your opinion. So if you have an opinion about the show tonight, please call in. We'd love to hear it. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial. We also got the chat room rolling nicely. Creep is on the radar and Joseph Stallman have both joined us. Welcome, fellas. Good to see you. Happy Memorial Day. And let's return to the panel talking about our events from tonight. We had our closing segment, which was a contract signing between The Shield and Evolution, which was a contract signing. They cut to the business of just throwing the chairs out of the ring early, The Shield, that is. They invited Evolution down. They all signed the contract, and eventually it ended in a brawl. I believe Evolution did a triple powerbomb, putting Roman Reigns through the table, and Evolution looked strong on the go-home pay-per-view, the final shot of it even, of Payback. Drew, where does this lead us going into Payback? What are your expectations, and what did you think about our contract signing?
I expect something good between these two teams. I mean, they had a good match at Extreme Rules. Sorry, I blacked out. I paused. I wasn't paying attention for a second. But when it comes to the contract signing, if you've seen a contract signing with a table being thrown or being used in some way, you've seen them all. And it breaks down in the end, and it's like any other contract signing. The one thing I did notice was that they kept on dropping the pin, which I thought was kind of funny. I think that's worth noting. But aside from that, I like the – was it – did they do a triple powerbomb through the announcer's table?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. I kind of liked when they did the power RKO powerbomb thing they did to Brian at Mania. I wish they'd do that more. I think that's just devastating. I think it looks better than that. But, like I said, if you've seen one contract signing, you've seen them all. It was okay for what it was.
Wayo, how about you, man?
I was down on this segment. I'd like to point out that Dean Ambrose sold his dropping of the pen pretty well, because he's always that wild man. So that was funny. But it looked awkward as hell when Batista did it. It looked like he just threw it at Triple H. As far as the whole segment goes, the beatdown was a little overdone. And I didn't care as much when I was a kid watching this, but the whole Triple H sledgehammer where he's got his fist over it.
Oh, I was going to mention that, I forgot.
It looks so fucking stupid. And back in 1999 when I was watching, I was like, yay, Triple H, violence, woo. But now I'm just, eh. So I was kind of down on it, and it's more of the same shit, so.
I forget what I was watching. I think it was an ECW pay-per-view where someone, legitimately smashed someone over the back of the head with a sledgehammer. oh my God, and I watched this other match. It was New Jack versus Mustafa, where New Jack climbs up to like the top of the freaking building and he jumps down like a whole freaking story. Freaking bananas.
That was random, but okay.
Just one of my random WWE Network exploits. I love the WWE Network, if I haven't said that enough.
They're paying you to say that?
They should be, I hope.
But yeah, I was kind of down on this segment. I'm looking forward to the match just based off the work they've done prior, but this segment did not sell me on it, and that was not a way to finish off your episode. Especially after 3 hours, I don't want to watch an extra 15 minutes for that.
Tony?
I agree on almost every single point here. I was sold on this match just because of the last match being so good. They literally could have done nothing for 4 weeks, and I still would have wanted to see it. So this didn't do anything to hurt it, but it did not make it any better. And, I mean, like Waco just said, you know, you sat through 3 hours worth of stuff, and they end up going, okay, well, we're going to end it off with this super exciting contract signing where literally like the first 5 minutes of it is people just kind of standing around. All right, I know you're all gonna fight, let's just skip right to the fight. And then it's a typical beatdown, and I've seen enough beatdowns lately that doesn't do anything special for me. So what if they triple power bombed Roman Reigns? He's gonna be there on the pay-per-view anyway. He's probably even gonna wrestle on either Main Event or SmackDown, so it's not like that's something that really matters, or it's setting up some kind of a new feud, or somebody turned heel or babyface or something like that. It's just a bore. It's a running theme of this episode. Nothing is supporting Payback. Nothing was really that interesting. And maybe I would have liked it more as a kid, like we were saying, but crap. I just, you know, couldn't care less.
Absolutely. So, pretty much all unanimous on that. Crap end segment. Not getting as excited for Payback. And what a feud that should be exciting. I mean, we like both of these factions, right? They're both cool in their own right. Yes? We can all agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, let's run down the rest of the show doing cleanup. Our opening segment, Triple H and Stephanie start off the show. Well, actually, we start off with a Memorial Day tribute. And taps and all the Americana shit because it's Memorial Day. So, congratulations, America. If you like flags and eagles and all that kind of shit, there was a lot of that tonight.
Perfect time to bring up Hulk Hogan and they fucking miss it.
Or the swagger soaring eagle.
Oh, that would have been great.
Or just Charlie Day so he could sing Rock, Flag, and Eagle.
You know what they should have had? They should have had, like, the eagle in the Adam Rose party. And then have it attack Adam Rose, like, wait a minute, you're not the bunny. And then he takes off the helmet, and it's Jack Swagger inside the Soaring Eagle costume.
Okay. I would have rather...
That would have been my high point if it existed.
I would have rather seen the eagle versus the rabbit tonight than, like, 90% of the matches that we saw.
Yeah? Yeah, I would have too. They had one of his other guys, Captain Comic, wrestle on NXT a couple weeks ago. So who knows? They might have the other people. I hope the cheeseburger faces the guy in the star costume.
Is that one dude supposed to be Waldo, but with a mustache?
Yes.
All right, I wasn't sure if it was Waldo with a mustache or a mustache.
I think he's just supposed to be a hipster.
A mustache with a Waldo?
A mustache sporting old criminal. Like, they used to have, like,
the
black
stripes.
And white stripes, but that he, for some reason, was just fucking red. Like, they got a Waldo one, and they were like, ah, oh, crap, it's the wrong stripes. Ah, oh, fuck it, we'll just go with it. Like,
I think he's just really hipster.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't get any of these fucking costumes.
Anyway, let's pull it back. Our opening segment has Triple H and Stephanie McMahon trying to get a bunch of heat for the Daniel Bryan situation. However, this crowd was giving them absolutely nothing. This crowd was sitting on their hands this entire first segment. They invite out Brad Baddex, and they tell him they have no choice but to bring Kane out, who attacks Brad Maddox, chokeslamming him, giving him the tombstone pile driver. Stephanie McMahon tells him he's fired. And just as I said, crowd was completely silent. You could have heard somebody sneeze in the top row during the segment. It was painful. I felt bad for them in the ring. And as soon as it was over, Brad Maddox is laying there being seen by technicians, and Michael Cole completely does not give a shit. She's like, well, while trainers work on Brad Maddox, we're going to move things along here. Here's a Believe promo. Because nobody cares about Brad Maddox. But, guys, end result, Brad Maddox, no longer Raw GM, what's pretty much been a worthless position in the past few months anyway, since, you know, we have two authority figures plus Vince McMahon's looming somewhere in the background. You got Vicky Guerrero poking in once in a while. Why do we need all these authority characters? Stupid.
I like Brad Maddox.
Saw?
I like him. I don't know if he really was the best person to go with for the Raw GM spot, but they've really kind of fucked up that Raw GM spot for a long time now, so it's not like I'm really expecting that much going on. If they're going to keep Stephanie in the mix of things and they're going to keep Triple H popping out and doing stuff like that, they don't really need a Raw GM anymore, so that's okay with me to get rid of Brad Maddox, but I actually do like him, so I hope that he goes to NXT and starts wrestling again or something like that. Or maybe he becomes the new GM for NXT instead of JBL, if that's the case. Or maybe he just becomes a manager. I don't know. I think that there's a spot for him somewhere. It is kind of a shame that they wrote him off like this and it just had no reaction and nobody gave a shit. Because it should matter if you're supposed to be firing what's like the head of an entire show. And at the very least, it should get a bigger response than that. If not, you know, an actual big important thing going on. So that's a shame. And maybe if they would have done it on a show that had more to it, it would have mattered more. Or maybe if Brad Maddox would have mattered more recently, then it would have mattered more. I don't know, but I like him. So I hope this doesn't just mean that they release him.
Drew?
Yeah, I'm actually in the same boat as Mango. I liked Brad Maddox. I remember when he first showed up and like when they were doing that whole him versus Ryback thing, he did like the behind the scenes with Brad Maddox type of thing. And I wish they would have stuck with that throughout all this. And, you know, he probably shouldn't have been the GM, but, you know, I thought they could have used that role effectively. But I think we all knew at the time that he was just being thrown in there just so they could have someone there. And, yeah, hopefully they can find something to do with him because I really do like him. I mean, I thought he was always at least decent on the mic. So, hey, you know, hopefully they find something for him to do.
And he looks just like Eric Bischoff. There's got to be a place for the guy, right?
Yeah, except Bischoff didn't wear those extremely tight vest and pants. But besides that,
Bischoff wore lots of tight pants.
Ah, fuck. Oh, but what about the tight?
Of course you didn't notice that.
Wago, what'd you think of our first segment?
I think they missed a perfect opportunity. They did it backwards. She should have said, "You're fired," and then Kane sets the fire off. It's a bit of a pun, but that's the only thing I took away from this, so I really couldn't give a crap. If you don't,
and also, she fires him first. She doesn't have a lawsuit on her hands of him getting hurt on the job. Now this is a problem. Now they're going to get David Otunga call in their office. Oh, God. It's just a mess.
And the whole issue with this isn't the reason they got no reaction is they never invested time into Brad Maddox, and the reason they didn't is because the GM role is redundant at this point. Without a brand split and without trying to give your show two identities as Raw and SmackDown, you don't need these guys, and they don't need Vicky Guerrero, they don't need Brad, so I suppose it was the right move. I don't know what you're going to do with him, but if he gets released, it's no loss to the company.
All right, well, we had our first matchup of the evening. It was between Cesaro and Rob Van Dam. It actually ended up being a pretty damn good match, but the thing that caught my eye first was Cesaro's badass new t-shirt. It's basically a parody of the old school King of the Ring logo, you know, with the crown and the red circle around it, only it says King of Swing. Fucking awesome. Kudos, WWE shirt-making department. Before this matchup actually gets to start, though, Bad News Barrett shows up on the stage celebrating the fact that it's officially the beginning of summer, which I don't think is true. I think summer starts on another day.
June 21st.
Yeah. But whatever. He makes a comment about how everyone has gotten fat over winter. That was his bad news for the week. He goes over and joins the commentary team, and he was an absolute delight. I mean, I would say he was probably the best part of this, of what was actually not a bad match between the two competitors. So it all ended up working out very well for each other. Cesaro gets the victory in the end with a bridging German suplex. Apparently another move that he's going to be incorporating. This is 2 weeks in a row. He's won with that move. After the match, Sheamus charges to the ring and bro kicks Cesaro. And that's where we leave off for that. Wago, what'd you think of our first match of the night?
So I was sitting down with Cesaro and I was like, so Drew hates that you do that German suplex. So can you just like make it your finisher? And that's what happened for tonight. But as far as the match goes, fucking awesome. Favorite match of the night. And Bad News Barrett's on commentary. he was, I forgot what line he came out with, but something about Rob Van Dam being old news, and I'm the new news, and the new news is bad. So I don't remember exactly the wording, but it was pretty sweet, and he knew it was sweet.
He delivered it with excellent confidence.
Unlike me.
Drew, Cesaro versus RVD.
I wasn't now this match. I really didn't see much of it. What I saw, I liked. That German suplex is going to be the death of me. But I don't know. I liked. I mainly paid attention to Barrett on commentary. I think that's what made this match at least tolerable to me. I don't know if it was awesome as what Wago said. It was probably just an above average match. But you know, this just means Sheamus is going to lose the title on Sunday. So yeah, everyone's happy.
Tony.
I didn't pay attention to anything in this match. I actually did not even know that Wade Barrett was on commentary. That's how little I paid attention to this when RVD came out.
What'd you expect? It's RVD.
Yeah.
What'd you expect him to pay attention?
I don't like RVD, but I knew Cesaro was there and I knew Bad News Barrett was there. It was great.
And you know what? Sadly, I don't even remember what the fuck I was doing during this segment. Like, what was the alternative thing that I thought was more important than paying attention? I don't remember at all. I might have just completely blacked out during this whole segment and all that. I do remember the shirt, though. At the very least, I remember Cesaro's shirt. And I remember just being like, oh, is that King of the Ring? Oh, okay, no, it's King Swing. Oh, cool. I miss King of the Ring.
Yeah, at least people are going to like the shirt, unlike when like Cena had his parody of the AWA one and everyone fucking threw up a stink about it.
So it's a good thing that he's got a good shirt. I still don't like his music. And I still don't like that we don't have King of the Ring. And I still don't like RVD. So, okay, so that kind of all balances out. Go Wade Barrett.
All right. Well, that actually brings me to a question I wanted to ask with this Cesaro's new finishing move. Is a bridging German suplex an applicable finishing move in this era of wrestling? I mean, can you really go to a move that simple when we've gotten to crazy things like the Canadian Destroyer and 450 splashes, and even just something like a tombstone is way crazier than a bridging German suplex. Wago, let me ask you on that one.
Rusev uses a fucking camel clutch.
It's a submission, though.
If you can use a camel clutch, you can use a bridging suplex. The whole point of that move is you get dropped on the back of your head. In addition to that, nobody uses German suplexes anymore, so it's a rarity. I say mix it up between the uppercut and the German suplex. I like guys having a variety of moves they can beat you with. But,
would see him still use the neutralizer later, which I don't like.
I fucking hate that move. It's a lot better than the neutralizer, and I'm fine with it. It's you can get it out of nowhere, and it bridges into the pin straight away, so it's believable that he can finish someone with it. I'm all for it.
Tony?
Nope. You can't do that for a finisher anymore. That's kind of like when you're doing a Russian leg sweep, or... I just still think it's stupid to do a clothesline for a finisher. And I don't know how they let Ryback do that as often as they did. Or JBL, the clothesline from hell, my ass. That's so stupid. German suplex is a nice move. I like it a lot, but it's not a finisher.
I think it's a fine finisher once in a while to keep people on their toes. But I hope that's what it ends up being. Like, he's just going to be one of those guys who has like an array of like 5 or 6 finishing moves. You never know what he's going to hit you and finish you off with.
I think it's a great finisher for the independents, not for WWE.
You've got guys like Cena that just uses a standing fireman's carry. I don't see how it's like that much different.
I think that looks more impressive. It's kind of like the difference between if you do a normal DDT and you do a tornado DDT. You're still doing just the DDT. But that tornado maneuver beforehand makes it seem like it's got something special to it.
Yeah, it's not just about like, oh, that's how that guy gets hurt. It's also about a little bit of flash. You got to have a little bit of flash in your finishing move these days.
Yeah, imagine if Del Rio tried to do the arm breaker without doing that little spin that he does. If he just like laid down next to the guy and put his arm between his legs. And just
the original Sin Cara, his finishing move, that thing where like he twists around you and brings you down to the arm bar. That's insane.
Right.
But imagine he just puts you in a regular old arm bar like that.
You see, I buy into it because I watch a lot of MMA. I fucking hate Del Rio's current arm breaker because he fucking crosses his legs. It looks stupid.
Or if like instead of CM Punk picking somebody up and dropping them to do the GTS, he just like brings his knee up and just knees him in the head. Bends him over and knees him in the head and lays him down.
Well, personally, I've always thought the GTS is a stupid looking move.
Yeah,
Yeah, I never liked that match.
I never liked it.
It's great if you're a big guy, but he's like small, skinny, fat ass.
Can you imagine Big Show trying to do that move though?
Couldn't even get his fucking knee up. Oh god.
Oh, god. Like you just fall right to the ground, and he's like, after you hit the ground, he starts lifting his knee up.
I just imagine if Kali tried to do it, just lift you up and then just like fucking just drop his knee on your head while you're on the floor.
And then Vince McMahon's on the commentary being like, oh my god, you gotta sell this. And it's so bad. God, how can he kick out of that?
all right, let's bring this down a bit. We had a Divas match with Summer Rae and Eva Marie. Summer Rae actually getting beaten by Eva Marie. So Eva Marie getting her victory. She had theme music. Who knew? But the thing that was most surprising to me is Eva Marie made the Maxim 100 hottest women. Really? Of all the divas? Eva Marie?
She must have been like 96 or something.
I mean, she's smoking. I'm not taking anything away from the chick. But I mean, there's better looking women in WWE, let alone everywhere.
No, I think it's because she was on the Maxim's cover. I think that's the only reason why out of all of them.
I guess people are into Crayola eyebrows because her fucking face looks stupid with the way she draws them on. She does not do anything for me.
You know what I've never understood about that whole list? I mean, I don't follow it enough to be like, oh, this person was on it this year and this person wasn't, whatever. But I do know that, like, it seems kind of stupid that you can take somebody like Mila Kunis or something, and she could be like a number one year, and the next year she's like a number eight. And it's like, she looks exactly the fucking same. You mean to tell me that she went from, like, the sexiest woman in the whole fucking world or whatever to, like, nah, she's just okay. Like, I hate these political list things.
Well, I mean, popularity does, like, improve a person's looks. What? And maybe that person doesn't look the same, you know? Maybe when they're not as busy making movies, they're not going out with all their makeup done up and making public appearances like that. It does make a difference.
Yeah, I hate these lists. It's a good job that Tony never did a list of sexiest women wrestlers.
Oh, Joseph Stallman is saying that she actually was in Maxim even before she was with WWE.
Hmm. Where are you now?
Indeed.
Was she in the 100 or just in Maxim?
No,
period?
I think just as a model. Yeah. Probably as like a hometown hottie or some shit. So Fandango and Layla showed up during this match, kissed on stage. Layla looked fucking ridiculous. She looked like a peacock or something.
She's always looked like a peacock since she's joined Fandango. What are you talking about?
My note that I have down here is, was her outfit made out of how many different types of dead birds?
Well, anyone got anything else they want to add to this match?
Blah. Is Adam Rose's Exotic Express missing a bird?
Right now Sean said they're going birds. We're calling them birds now.
All right, well, let's lighten the mood. We had a matchup between Drew McIntyre and El Torito. Ole! Yes, we're continuing this feud between three-man band and Los Matadores, which I think we're maybe not all of us, but at least a good amount of us are able to confess that we're kind of digging this, right?
Yeah.
This whole story?
Unfortunately, and shamefully, I have to admit, but I fucking loved every moment of this.
Well, of this, and I just mean the story in general. Like, almost every segment has delivered. There's been very few that I'm like, oh, make it. Maybe like the first few, just because I wanted to be so against it, because on paper, this is the worst idea ever. Putting Hornswoggle with three-man band and having him feud with Matadores. Well, hell, who knew? This has been fucking great. Well, anyway, this was not the best matchup we had seen, but after the matchup finished, the moment of glory in this is when Hornswoggle starts attacking El Torito, eventually grabbing him by the tail and ripping the tail off. It was heinous. JBL making it all the better with the humanity. Just making the moment just feel like absolute one of the worst tragedies to happen on the show of all time.
I'm just glad they got it on ice. I was worried for him.
Oh yeah! And later on, when they come back, they're back with the trainers. They have the tail on ice. I was kind of hoping next week he would come out and he would have like Eeyore style, where the tail would be nailed into his butt.
or they need like a really obnoxious cross bandaid over where it was or something.
They can do a transplant. They give him a different type of a tail.
don't give many ideas. Don't make it any stupider.
Oh, Brian the Brain saying he's glad he missed this. Why? This was great.
It was fucking awesome. The match wasn't even bad.
No, it wasn't great. It was okay. I think the match that they had at Extreme Rules pre-show was a lot better, but that's when you have a lot of gimmicks, so.
No, I thought the ending was the most random fucking thing ever, but it was so great at the same time.
Well, why don't you go first, Drew? What'd you think about this?
It was stupid, but it was hilarious. I think, wait, didn't he, like, fall off the top turnbuckle, hit his head on it, and he got pinned? That's how it ended, right?
That's how Drew got beat. I mean, like, Metadores were distracting him, and something happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it was something like that. As soon as that happened, I was like, wait. If this was anyone else, I think this would be stupid, but, God, this was just funny. And then the tail being pulled off. And then I didn't expect them to go back to him after commercial. So when I saw him in the back, we learned that Los Matadores speaks English. Hey, you know, you learn something new every day. This was fantastic. This might be one of my favorite things of the night. And I don't know why. This was just, God, this was great.
Wago.
Not much more for me to say other than it was a comedy match. It delivered the funnies, and I loved the tail segment. So it was one of the more positive things of tonight, and I don't know if that's just because the show sucked or this was really good.
All right, Tony, don't be the Debbie Downer. What'd you think about it?
I got to point out one thing that I thought was funny. This is not a negative thing. This is just to bring out how ludicrous all this kind of stuff is, but it works too. Drew McIntyre standing up on the top turnbuckle, and he's literally just like looking around for like whoever it was supposed to distract him.
And this is the same guy who launched himself into a table.
Right. He literally just threw himself into that table. So that he's keeping that going on. I guess it's his new character is just like completely brain dead or something. How good would this have been if fucking JR would have still been on commentary? Him selling this. My God, he ripped him in half.
That bull has a family.
As God is my witness, there is no tail. Like, that would have been so much better, but this was so stupid that you had to like it. I mean, the match that they're going to have at Payback, of course it's got potential to be absolutely terrible, but hell, the last match could have been just as terrible, and they proved us wrong, and they ended up making that really damn entertaining. So hair versus mask, this kind of being good. And I actually really liked what JBL was saying. He was like, oh, Hornswoggle wears a mask. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Dylan looks like bald.
What if it's not to make Dylan bald?
I think that that's what I can't imagine.
They're not taking the mask off him.
They just took his tail off.
The tail. That's so
cool. They're going to rip the head off, too.
They're going to shed him of the bull character. They're just going to make him a midget wrestler.
They can sell bull masks. They can't sell.
Well, they haven't done it yet, so. They need to get on the ball with that. Oh. Get on the bull with it.
Between the fucking bow puns and the bull puns, this show is stupid.
Oh, goodness. All right, well. We had a really short greeting with Zack Ryder swinging the American flag. As soon as I saw Zack Ryder coming out, I was like, this has got to be a Rusev segment. And then I realized he had an American flag. I'm like, this is definitely a Rusev segment. Sure enough, Lana comes out, spends about 5 minutes strutting her ass around. Anyone notice how she has an outfit that's the same color as her Titantron? So she just kind of blends in it, so you only see her head and legs.
She has a Titantron?
Yeah. Huh? She's a Titantron and her own music that is separate from Rusev's.
Huh. I missed that part. Shoot.
Yeah, she needs to bore us for an extra 30 seconds.
They should put her out with Cesaro's music instead.
Well, she went on with her thing. Eventually, Rusev came out, said one word, which I'm really hoping was like a Kai and Tai thing where Lana did the big speech and then Rusev just went, indeed. Whatever, but really short match. Rusev gets the accolade for the submission victory. Big E coming down for the save and actually getting the advantage at the end of this. And I imagine they were just doing this for the celebration of Memorial to let the American guy who's not actually American come out on top.
Is that American?
No, I don't think so. Maybe someone else could look that up for me. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Big E is from like South America or something like that.
I'm on the case.
Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh, it could be Ezekiel. Moving right along. Tony, what'd you think about this?
I'm so sick of Rusev. I mean, I wrote a post up earlier this week about how Rusev is just boring and his character is not going to last unless they change it up. So this is the same old crap. And I like Zack Ryder, so it sucks to see him get his ass kicked. And I don't want to see a Big E and Rusev feud because I think that that's going to be the battle of the odd body shapes. And by the way, Big E's from Tampa, Florida.
Oh, damn it, you missed
Was that where he was born?
Yeah, that's where he was born. I was going to do a whole report on it, but never mind. Damn.
This is the reason why the Nation of Domination has been reported to coming back.
Well, what kind of American name is Etor?
Yeah.
No, what kind of American name is Etor? All right.
You know what? You know what? That's fair enough.
All right. Drew, what did you think of this segment?
You know, it's like any other Rusev segment. I didn't hate it as much as JD did, but... it was just another Rusev thing, and it's hey, you know, for those who love Zack Ryder and think that he should be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, hey, you got to see him on TV, so good for you.
Tony?
I already went.
Oh, Wago.
So yeah, Big E beat up a potato. That was neat.
Mashed
yes.
that potato, didn't he?
Is a potato. Our next matchup was a tag match between Brotherhood and Batista and Randy Orton. A little bit of a warm-up for them heading into their match at Payback. I missed it, but I heard everyone going off about this fantastic RKO that Randy Orton did. Can someone explain to me what this was?
Okay, so Cody Rhodes, you know how he does the disaster kick?
Mm-hmm.
He did that, but when he turned off, Orton caught him, and just the sell of it was awesome.
I missed it, and then I missed the replay. I was so pissed at myself, so I'm going to have to actually look up the
Just
YouTube
go on Tumblr, you'll find a GIF.
Oh, very indeed. After they get the pin on Cody Rhodes, though, Justin Roberts gets in the mic and says that this is actually an elimination match, and that a new match would begin that would be a handicap between Batista and Orton against Goldust, which was just a complete beatdown of Goldust. His makeup was gone all over his face, and... It's just a poor place for Brotherhood to be in at this point. It's a shame because just not too many months ago, they were like the greatest thing to be happening to the tag team division. Now they're nothing. Whatever happened to the New Age Outlaws? They kind of just came in, got a belt, and then left.
One of them is injured. I can't remember which one. I think it's Billy.
Oh.
He got some, he tore his ass or something like that. Pulled an X-Pac.
Maybe the syphilitis got bad.
So once they got injured, that was like right after they had dropped the titles or something like that. And then they just figured, you know, fuck it.
Oh, I remember. Apparently Billy Gunn was meant to be coughing up blood after the WrestleMania match and he went to hospital and they never really reported on it after that.
He was never seen again.
That's sad. you guys have anything you want to add to this segment?
I liked right before they had actually done that thing when they did the backstage segment. I don't know if you guys caught this, but they did the little joke about the skinny jeans. And when they were cutting the commercials.
You got big legs.
Yeah. Who's he called skinny jeans? And who was it? Was it Triple H or Orton? He just goes, you got big legs.
Yeah. It's
a male reassurance.
Other than that, no. I don't know.
That was your fucking crowning moment of this thing.
Yeah. It pretty much was.
Not even part of the match was the best part of the match.
Right.
Makes sense.
It does suck what happened to the Brotherhood because they were so damn good last year. And Cody Rhodes deserves so much better. But every time that they give him the ball and he starts rolling with it, then they just take it away from him. It sucks.
Well, it's the moment we've all been waiting for, guys. It's time for us all to Bo Leave. It's the debut of Bo Dallas here on Monday Night Raw. He actually debuted on SmackDown, so this actually wasn't his WWE debut. I mean, he's been in NXT for a while, so people should be familiar with him. And he actually was in WWE about a year ago, right before during the Royal Rumble. So.
Nah, they want us to forget that one.
Yeah, he was a lot more skinnier and a lot more oiled up and awkward.
Yeah, he was awful then. But, man, this guy has really honed this character down. I love it. JD was down on it, and I see a lot of people are down on it too. I just don't think they've gotten it yet. I think they need a little bit more time. It's a fantastic character, and I think it is going to work out great. I love the victory lap. I love him going and hugging his opponent and giving him the thumbs up, saying, you can do this too. I believe in you. It's just great. Tony?
I really like this character. You can't not like it. I mean, come on. It's so stupid. And it's something that could, just like the Bad News Barrett thing, it's something that you can boo the hell out of right now, but guaranteed you're going to fucking get into it, and then you're going to end up cheering for it. And it'll transition perfectly, too. I mean, we've talked multiple times about how Bad News Barrett can keep the Bad News Barrett gimmick and just do it for the heels and be like, oh, I've got, you know, some bad news for the heels. Well, what's a better thing to have for a babyface than for you to actually be able to say, I believe in this guy? It's going to work out so damn well. The only thing that'll hurt it is if WWE books it in a weird way. Like, if they make him look like too much of a jackass to where people can't buy into him at all, or if they try to push him too hard, too fast, like they did with Rusev for a little bit there, and what they've done with multiple different people in the past, that's what's going to hurt it. But I think that they're playing it smart right here. You have him against somebody like a Sin Cara who can lose, and it, you know, he's not beating like Mark Henry, and he's not just fighting Santino. But that could end up being a good feud too, Santino against Bo Dallas. They could have some good segments going on.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, as long as they don't tread into weird territory, I think this could be awesome.
There has to be a Bobra.
A Bobra. What the hell? I would see it.
Drew, how'd you like the debut of Bo Dallas?
I'm in the same boat as you guys. I loved it. The way I kind of look at him, he's kind of like that, the biggest troll ever. Like, you know,
yes,
that's how I look at him. It's just so, he's like, oh, you're supposed to boo him, but then he like goes up and like congratulates like his opponent, like, hey, you know, you can do better next time or something like that. It's just something that you can get behind just because of how stupid it is, but at the same time, it's amazing. I think this will work for Bo Dallas. I don't know, was this his exact character when he was in NXT?
Yes. Yeah. To a T.
Yeah. Well, if it worked in NXT, I think it could work now. I think sometime in the next year, I think this is really going to catch on, and I think this could, you know, really help him, unlike the quote unquote Rumble appearance he had. But you know, I think this could really work out for him.
Way go.
The only thing I think hurts it is the fact that if you've watched it from the get go, where you saw him actually try and be a babyface, and then it kind of went sour, so he adapted it. The gimmick means a lot more to you, and I don't know if people, I think that might be some of the reason why people are having a hard time getting over that first hurdle of embracing the character. But the only other issue, I think it's only got a certain time period on it. I think it's going to burn out and get stale probably after a year, and I don't know where he goes after that. But for now, I love it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
Well, you know, you always take the best parts of it and keep it for yourself, and then you transition into other things. I think he's a versatile character. He's got good blood in him. I mean, that family, pretty much every person who's gotten involved in wrestling has been a fantastic gimmick. So I think he can carry this just fine. His finishing move, the Bow Dog. Another great bow pun.
Shame that the finisher sucks.
Yeah, it's freaking the Stratisfaction. Oh, JBL compared him to Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Oh, well, another Divas match. We've really been making a regular thing of having two Divas matches on the show.
And
yeah, they should not get in that habit.
Alicia Fox versus Emma. Thank goodness Emma is no longer with Santino.
I wouldn't speak too soon.
Yeah.
What? Why do you say that?
I got a feeling that they'll just bring them back out again next week or something like that.
Well, at least this week Emma came out by herself for a losing effort, unfortunately. Maybe that's why Santino couldn't be there, because Alicia Fox goes nuts, beats the crap out of Emma, throwing her into the guardrail, finds more soda to pour on herself, ends up attacking a bunch of the ring crew at the side.
Wedgie.
Yeah, the best part of the whole thing is when she goes, it's wedgie time! Yeah, I don't know. I'm very indifferent on this Alicia Fox thing going on right now. Some parts of it, like I said, the wedgie thing was the best part of that whole ordeal, but other than that, it really felt like it was dragging for me. The past couple weeks it was fine, but it's getting old fast. So if she can't actually show more of a character than just like throwing herself and like, oh, I'm just gonna pour soda on myself, oh look, I'm gonna throw this thing over here, I'm such a crazy woman, blah 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 blah, I'm a clown, blah, 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 blah.
What kind of a noise is that? I don't remember her doing that.
That's like a, that's my Alicia Fox,
like laser guns or something.
Is that the noise that my table was making when it was squeaking?
Yes, that's the exact noise. No, listen, man, you gotta convey the attitude through radio. I don't have a visual medium to show you guys. Perhaps I can take a picture later, but that's just what I'm doing. That's my audio interpretation of whatever Alicia Fox was doing in the segment. Okay.
For anybody that didn't watch this segment and is just listening to this, please tell us what you're imagining.
Yeah, they're gonna like watch Alicia Fox and be all disappointed. Oh, that's not what happened.
I figured spaceships would be in the background and shit.
pouring soda on the fan.
Oh, that would have been a much better segment. Why haven't they had a spaceman gimmick?
I don't know. Maybe it's not believable enough.
Why not? There's real spacemen.
I know.
There's a fucking gimmick with a bull. We can do a spaceman.
I guess Shockmaster was kind of a spaceman.
They should get like somebody who's like a high flyer, and they could do all like the whole, oh, he's over the moon on this one.
Oh wait, yeah, Max Moon.
Paul London's was wearing a space helmet in the Indies for a while, but that's the closest I've seen.
Anyway, getting back to Alicia Fox and Emma, Tony, how'd you dig this?
I like it. This is kind of the difference between the beatdowns, like the Triple H one, and this. There's something weird about this that I like. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that she's pouring liquid all over herself and she's hot. Maybe it's just because she's doing stuff that's a little bit different instead of actually, you know, just picking up Emma and slamming her into the ring apron and doing that kind of crap. But she was fucking stiff with Emma, too.
Yeah, I was about
there to were a lot this. Of moments where I was just like, fuck, she might have really hurt her there. But ringing a bell is like, that's obnoxious and it's ridiculous. So I liked it. And the wedgie thing, that was pretty funny. And the fact that she's beating the shit out of this guy, too, is another thing, which is just like, what a shame for that dude. Like, he's going to get his ass kicked out of wedgie from like Alicia Fox.
And it's like, oh, let me throw this soda can at you, too.
Right. What was the comment of when you guys had left in the chat when we were watching? It just threw a soda at homeboy.
Oh, yeah, she like after she drank one of the sodas, she crinkled the can and threw it at one of the guys in the ground, and it socked him right in the face.
All good. It's all good. He kissed him, and she kissed him when it was all said and done.
And how can you not like Alicia Fox going around and doing that shit and going bloop, 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 bloop. It's awesome. I love it. I think that Alicia Fox is awesome. She never gets as much credit as she deserves.
Oh, she's improved significantly. I've been watching her on NXT. She's been wrestling a lot on there, and she's gotten much, much better than where she was when she first came in.
I liked her even when she was with DJ Gabriel.
Nah.
Yeah.
We don't need to go there. Anything else anybody wants to add to this segment?
I think it's I'm not sure if I like it or if I just like that it's different. Because none of these divas have any character other than Emma and AJ. So maybe something different is why I'm into it, but I don't know that it's good or not.
The only thing I don't like about it is that Alicia, it just sounds really bad when she's trying to act like she's crazy or whatever the hell she's supposed to be. But aside from that, I fucking love what she's doing.
Yeah, if you started to go bloop, 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 it'd be a lot more believable.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Take notes, WWE.
Blue, blue, blue is where it's at.
Well, we had our second Raw in-ring debut of the evening, Adam Rose. And of all the opponents, he faces Davy Crockett? Actually, Damian Sandow, dressed up in a coonskin cap, coming to the ring as Davy Crockett. Because they're in Tennessee, so I guess you gotta have someone come out to the ring as Davy Crockett.
Except did they even mention that it was Sandow at all, or were they just playing off it was the Davy Crockett?
Well, I think they were calling him Damian Crockett.
Oh, okay.
I swear I heard them saying that.
Mm.
Maybe I just made that up in my head. I don't know. Anyway, Adam Rose gets the victory here and says something about being lemons, I'm sure. I actually don't have detailed notes of this.
Okay, so Jack Swagger came out, he beat him up and said, "Don't touch my lemons."
Well, they had the dude dressed up as the lemon.
You wonder what I thought was weird about this was that like he had like the whole posse come out with him, and then as soon as he gets to the ring, they all left. I thought they were gonna just stay out with him.
No, they go back to the party bus.
Ah, man, dude, that takes a lot of fucking effort.
And then after he wins the match, they come back out.
Maybe where the hell is that party bus at?
If they're that near to the fucking entrance, wouldn't they be able to stop Jack Swagger? I mean, there's enough of them.
You know what?
Well, I mean, if Jack Swagger's fast. I mean, he's a collegiate athlete. They're all a bunch of partiers. You know, they got their beer bellies and whatnot.
You know what they should do? You know how Del Rio used to come out with the vehicles? Just come out with the party bus. Why not do that?
They should do that for something like WrestleMania if he's still around at that point. You could have, like, a match between him and Del Rio, and Del Rio can come in with his old car on the one side, and the party bus can run the fuck over with Del Rio inside.
Please make this happen.
He's definitely someone you could do a really awesome big WrestleMania entrance for. So if he is still around and they're still behind him, deliver with that.
I'm still with Tony's idea. Kill Del Rio.
I'm killing Del Rio. It's nowhere near as good if you don't have Del Rio in the car at the time.
Wow.
Even throw Bad News Barrett in to deliver the bad news just before he gets killed.
You know what? Let's not even make it an Adam Rose feud. Let's just have somebody run over Del Rio.
Perhaps Santa can come back and get retribution.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought we just...
in the middle of fucking June. It's all back.
Well, with that, is there anything anybody wants to add to the Rose Crockett match?
Fuck Del Rio.
David Crockett.
Well, you're fortunately going to be disappointed, because the next match we get to talk about is Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus.
How about Samuel Shaw, huh?
Sheamus gets the victory after this, which was actually, I'm going to say it was an okay matchup for the two characters that I'm normally not big on. Alberto Del Rio actually looked like he had a fire under him that I don't think I've seen him with in a long time. And I didn't notice this. I believe it was Tony who brought it up, but he actually came out to his old heel music, which I much preferred.
Yeah.
He remembered his D-pads this week.
The only thing I wish he'd do is say if he came out with the car again, because fuck, whenever he comes out on the like entrance, it's kind of like, up. I don't know if I'm gonna get faced every other this week. Where's the fuck's the bucket or something?
There
like
was
this.
A segment this night after the whole thing with Stephanie McMahon and Daniel Bryan about him surrendering the title, where we saw Stephanie McMahon and Alberto Del Rio communicating backstage. We don't know what they were saying, but maybe Del Rio is going to be a front runner for the Authority to start backing.
Oh, new WWE Heavyweight Champion. That'd be fucking hilarious just to fuck with us at this point.
Yeah, every time I come on the show, it's going to be, so Wiggle, what did you think? Didn't watch.
Oh, God.
Well, after this match, Paul Heyman appears inside the timekeeper's box. He calls out Cesaro to attack Sheamus, who hits the neutralizer. And this happened really late. This happened at like 10:58. And I was like, is this going to be our last segment of the show? And then the contract signing didn't start until like 11:05. God damn, this show has gone way too long. But yeah, this was all right. You know, like I said, a lot better than I would have expected with these two competitors inside there. I'm really not feeling Sheamus' title run. I wish they never put that title on him. Hopefully, it's going to be short-lived and Cesaro is going to take it off of him, which would mean I would have three champions on my team.
Aren't you lucky?
The big guy.
We didn't see the big guy tonight. That sucks.
No. Drew, what'd you think about this match?
I thought it was just above average. You know, after seeing them so much in 2012, I didn't really hate their matches then, so I'm not going to hate this match now. It was essentially the same match. Shoot, they were trying to sell that Sheamus was a bit woozy or something, weren't they? From like all the
yeah,
because
Del Rio kept kicking him in the head.
Oh, so, man.
A la his match with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, he's getting that Ziggler treatment. But he came out on top. Yeah, you know, I'm not really failing Sheamus's title ring. The only reason why I care about it is because I have him on my fantasy team. So, you know, if they put on Cesaro, you know, that'd be cool. I didn't really dig the whole attacking thing. I don't know why. It just was average. But, you know, the match was above average, so. And, like, you know, about the show feeling like it went on forever tonight, it did. It really felt like this. It was like 11:20 by this point. Shows go on way too fucking long.
Wago?
I couldn't give a fuck about this. I was happy when it was over. And the only good thing was fucking, nothing. Actually, no, I have got nothing. I can't say anything positive about this match. It fucking sucked. But just so you guys know, Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar, defeated the streak.
What?
Conquered the streak.
Bullshit. What are you talking
about? Jesus Christ, not like he hasn't said it 5,000 times. Get the line right.
Shut up.
Shut up, Drew.
Yeah, shut up, Drew.
Everybody knows that I don't like these guys, but at the same time, I was liking part of this match when they made it seem like Sheamus could actually lose stuff. and then they fucked it all over with him just kicking out of everything. You can't do something in a match where it looks like somebody got their head kicked in so much and so hard that they're basically brain dead and they're still kicking out. Give me a fucking break. If you want me to believe that Del Rio was kicking him hard enough for him to be basically out on his feet, he needs to lose the fucking match. I don't care if he is the babyface that you want to beat everybody and he can't possibly lose. Babyfaces are supposed to be people too. And if you're like the Undertaker, you can get away with this kind of shit. Or you're supposed to be like supernatural and you can kick out of stuff or whatever. Or even if it's like a really important match, okay. But man, there's no fucking reason why Sheamus should not be able to just lose every once in a while, especially if he's gotten blasted in the head with somebody's fucking boot like 8 times in a row. So that is just another reason why I don't like this kind of crap. I'm sick of Sheamus, his whole babyface character. I want him to turn heel so bad. I want Del Rio to go back to doing nothing for a while. I want the United States Championship to get merged with the U.S. With the IC title.
Merge of it.
And for Cesaro to be feuding with somebody better.
You know what, Mango? You know what I thought?
Yeah, everything you want. You want, yeah. you want.
Damn right.
Man, do you remember when Sin Cara beat Del Rio? It's fucking awesome.
Like 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss those days.
It's like, man, it was so good. Let's do it again next week.
Like, only have Del Rio come out if he's going to lose to Sin Cara or get run over.
Drew, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, like, he was talking about how, you know, the whole kicking in Sheamus' head. And I, when he went for that, whoa, let me finish before you start being mean to me, Tom Cal. What I want to finish is, you know, what if, like, they pull off the whole Sheamus goes for that bro kick, but he's so out of it, he completely misses. And then he loses the match because of it. I think that would have been funny if they did something like that. But they would never do that to Sheamus. Sheamus is too important for them to do that. Yes, interesting.
Any other comments people want to add to this?
Fuck Del Rio.
Tony?
Ew.
Yeah, fuck Del Rio.
Ew.
Drew?
Fuck me, yeah.
Ew.
All right, well, with that, folks, we are going to head into the good, the bad, and the ugly. As I said, it is time for us to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we recall what we thought was the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most embarrassing part of the show, as far as, like, if you had a non-wrestling fan walk in and you had to try to explain it to them. So, let's go around and get it from you guys. Drew, what was your good, bad, and ugly?
My good tonight would have definitely would have been, I don't know, I guess, you know, the 3-man band. But at the same time, if we're talking about embarrassing things, that would be really hard to explain. So that technically could be an ugly as well, but I'm going to give it a good tonight. My bad would probably be the opening segment because I like Brad Maddox and I wish you know, as much, hopefully they could find something to do with him. And my ugly would probably be the Daniel Bryan segment. That was just stupid, pointless, and yeah.
Wayo?
Good, I'll give it to Cesaro versus, shit, I can't remember his name now. whoever Cesaro faced, I like that match. Rob Van Dam.
Our Rob Van Dam.
There we go. I'm glad one of us remembers. I'm tired. I'm overheated.
You're supposed to be the one who likes him in this panel.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's rubbing off on me. The bad, that has got to go to Alberto Del Rio for existing. And the ugly goes to the Alicia Fox segment. As I said, I didn't necessarily know if it was bad or good. I'm kind of indifferent on it. But if I had to explain that to someone, it's just fucking embarrassing and awkward.
Indeed. Tony?
Good Alicia Fox in that whole segment, the wedgie in particular. The bad Summer Rae versus Eva Marie. I didn't like anything about that except for the way that they looked, but not the way that Layla looked because all those dead birds just got in the way. And the ugly, if I'm not going with Layla's outfit, it's got to go to the Davy Crockett thing. Just ridiculous. Absolutely stupid.
Absolutely. So for me, I'm going to say the good is actually going to be that three-man band Los Matadores segment. Yes, it was silly. Yes, it was ridiculous. But you know what? It was comedy. It's supposed to be silly and ridiculous. So I think if someone saw it, comedy is universal. They would get it. Honorable mention to Bo Dallas. Welcome to the big time. My bad is going to be that opening segment. Oh, my gosh. It was just the crowd did not help. Perhaps if the crowd reacted a little bit better, maybe I would have enjoyed it more. But Brad Maddox hasn't been around in so long. I did not care that he's fired because I haven't seen him in, like, what, 4 months anyway? So it's not like things are going to be any different. Oh, no, I'm not going to see Brad Maddox. And the ugly I'm going to give to the Alicia Fox crazy fit, whatever the crap she is doing. You know what? Maybe some people can like that, but shit, if one of my friends walked in on that, I would be like, ah, she's pouring soda on her, man. I don't know.
I was changing the channel. I was watching Porn Honest.
Well, let me pull one out of the chat room here. Joseph Stallman saying, good, Drew actually watched the show tonight. Bad, Shield versus Evolution. And ugly, Five Head versus Redhead.
Oh, I get it.
Wow.
Five Head. I would like that.
Let's do some plugs here, guys. Drew, start us off, please.
Shoot. This is a good, but Sports Talk Weekly, it's on Mega Powers Radio. Apparently I don't know the day anymore because we change it every day.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday still at 9 o'clock. I'll be there this week, hopefully. So yeah, just if you like sports, be sure to tune into that. You know, Jester, poor man's version of Wago will be on there. So if you like that, then take that into consideration. So go Drew Crew.
Know what that means. But Wago, why don't you go next?
All right. So if you guys are into mixed martial arts, you can check out UDMMA.com. That's Unanimous Decision MMA. We cover all the big fights, all the big events. UFC 173 just happened with TJ Dillashaw capturing the Bantamweight Championship. It was an awesome fight. So go check out all that action. You can find us on UDMMA.com, Twitter.com/UDMMA, and Facebook.com/UDMMA. Also, an episode of Addicted to Anime just aired on Mega Powers Radio, so you can go check that out in the archives. We covered Tenjo Tenge, which was an anime involving big titties, violence, and a whole bunch of fun. So go check that out.
Right, Mr. Tony Mango. Show them mangoes.
You don't want me to show them. You'll just be scarred for life. SmarkOutMoment.com is my wrestling website, and the podcast that goes along with that is YouTube.com/SmarkOutMoment. You can also find Smack Talk on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find me on Bleacher Report. You can find me all sorts of different places like FanboysAnonymous.com, out on limbs.com, A Mango Tree, Tony Mango, etc., etc. If you go to one of the sites, you're going to find links to everything else.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed listening to us here on this Memorial Day edition of the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. And if you did, please join us live every single Monday night following the conclusion of WWE Monday Night Raw. We'll be here, and we're going to be inviting you to join the conversation every single week. We'll have the chat room rolling. We'll have the phone lines open. We love hearing what you guys got to say. Quiet this night, but hey, it's a holiday. We accept that. We know what the deal is. But please join us next week. But if you can't, totally understandable. We are available in archive form all over the place. SmarkOutMoment.com is going to be your number one source. From there, you can find us on Stitcher Radio, on iTunes, and on YouTube. So you can get us on pretty much anywhere podcasts are served. And I'm just going to do one shout out here. If you are a Game of Thrones fan, please check out my podcast, the Sand and Snow Podcast, where we're covering every episode and comparing it to the books and all that happy horse shit. So if you like dragons, you like rape, and you like all the titties and action and penises that are on Game of Thrones, check out the Sand and Snow Podcast, also on iTunes and Stitcher, on Mega Powers Radio, and FanboysAnonymous.com. And I'll give a nice little shout-out to Joseph Stallman here. He's plugging his show, the Aku and Rez Show, a hilarious show where he does a bunch of funny modulations on his voice. So if you like hearing a guy who found a toy inside his thing and likes playing... this is getting worse as I'm saying it. They're just gonna go. So go check out the Aku and Rush Show. They're better at doing comedy than I am. Thank you everyone for listening. For Drew White, for Anthony Bago, and for Stephen Huego, I am Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next time here on the Raw Post Show.